Hello and welcome to Sound Body, a weekly program of information on health topics and ideas that can help you live life to its fullest. I'm Louise Craig. Recently, my husband rounded the corner into our bathroom to find me standing there midday with wax earplugs stuck in my ears. I told him it was because I was tired of listening to him. But the real reason why I had earplugs in is that blow dryers are very loud and very close to my ears. Since there's no cure for hearing loss, I'm trying my best to keep the little hairs responsible for good hearing in my ears in good shape. Researchers are working away at finding good solutions to hearing loss and tinnitus, but we are not there yet. I am encouraged, though, and I hope you will be too, after we read about what is available already as hearing aids and the kind of interventions that are being developed. And the title of our first No Hearing Aid, Some Gizmos Offer Alternative to Speak Up. This was written by Paula Spann for the New York Times, published on July 15, 2016. An estimated 1 zillion older people have a problem like mine. First, we noticed age-related hearing loss. A much-anticipated report on hearing health from the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine last month put the prevalence at more than 45% of those aged 70 to 74, and more than 80% among those over 85. Then, we do little or nothing about it. Fewer than 20% of those with hearing loss use hearing aids. I've written before about the reasons: high prices, $2,500 and up for a decent hearing aid, and most people need two. Lack of Medicare reimbursement, because the original 1965 law creating Medicare prohibits coverage. Time and hassle, stigma. Both the National Academies and the influential President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology have proposed pragmatic steps to make hearing technology more accessible and affordable. But until there's progress on those, many of us with mild to moderate hearing loss may consider a relatively inexpensive alternative: personal sound amplification products, or PSAPs. They offer some promise and some perils, too. Unlike for a hearing aid, you don't need an audiologist to obtain a PSAP. You see these gizmos advertised on the back pages of magazines or on sale at drugstore chains. You can buy them online. But they go virtually unregulated by the Food and Drug Administration. That leaves them without the design control requirements, performance standards, technical standards, or labeling requirements that apply to devices, the National Academies report said. By law, manufacturers can't even label or advertise PSAPs as intended to help with hearing loss. The lack of regulation may foster faster innovation, FDA approvals take time, but also creates consumer chaos. New digital features: some PSAPs use Bluetooth technology to customize devices, and some will actually test your hearing, are sprouting like dandelions. Yet you can spend $70 or $700 on a pair with no simple way to tell helpful products from the worse than useless. The current market is pretty much a free-for-all, said Dr. Frank Lin, an otolaryngologist at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and a member of the National Academies Committee. Some PSAP companies are very good, founded by former hearing aid executives and engineers, Dr. Lin said. The devices you see in Walmart for $40 are terrible. Which PSAPs are the good ones? A Johns Hopkins audiologist, Nicholas Reed, has run electroacoustical tests on several devices marketed online, measuring their output or gain, translation volume, frequency ranges, and clarity, the three factors most important in helping people hear. He has also tested them with users with mild to moderate hearing loss. These devices won't help people with severe hearing loss. Placing people in hearing booths with some background noise, he compared their hearing with various PSAPs to how well they could hear with no hearing device and with a mid-priced $2,500 hearing aid. Dr. Reed has tested just 29 participants so far, he cautioned, and real-world results will vary. Still, he and his colleagues were impressed with three PSAPs. The SoundHawk, which operates with a smartphone, performed almost as well as the hearing aid with a list price of $399. The CS50 Plus, made by SoundWorld Solutions, and the Bean T-Coil from Etymotic worked nearly as well and list for about $350. The researchers also tested the MSA30X, available at drugstores for $30, and found it actually increased distortion. A pure waste of your money, Dr. Reed said. Dr. Lin's research group is conducting two pilot studies that fit patients with PSAPs, and we're seeing very positive results, he said. Dr. Reed will present his findings at the International Hearing Aid Research Conference next month. Ultimately, both the President's Council and the National Academies Committee recommend that regulators establish a new product category for these over-the-counter devices, sometimes called hearables. They've urged the FDA to set specifications that ensure safety and effectiveness and to require that devices meet certain manufacturing standards. Then consumers can buy them with greater confidence, avoiding the bundling system buttressed by state and federal laws that makes hearing aids available only through audiologists. The exception, you can already buy some hearing aids online, but sometimes the only difference between them and the same devices marketed as PSAPs is their labeling. Industry groups have objected to changing the current setup, but the proposal resembles the way many consumers now buy eyeglasses. Get a prescription from an optometrist or ophthalmologist, then comparison shop in stores or online for prices and styles. Hearing devices require more customization and instruction than glasses, and while glasses can correct vision, no device fully restores normal hearing. But while FDA-approved hearing aids fitted by audiologists may remain the gold standard for treating hearing loss, PSAPs may have a place. Let the consumer find the device online, and then let the audiologist charge an hourly rate to fit it, Dr. Reed said. Already, he added, a lot of savvy people are doing this for themselves, patching together systems that use over-the-counter electronics and audio equipment. Richard Einhorn, a Manhattan composer, suddenly lost most of his hearing because of a virus in 2010. He owns high-end hearing aids, but like many users, still struggles in noisy environments like restaurants. His solution? He removes his hearing aids and turns to his iPhone. The iPhone has fantastic audio specifications, on par with some professional gear, said Mr. Einhorn, 63, a board member of the Hearing Loss Association of America. He relies on an FDA-certified hearing app, the Jacoti Listen app, and that is J-A-C-O-T-I. A plug-in directional microphone, he uses the Shure Motive MV88, and quality earphones. Disclosure, he serves as a consultant for Jacoti. Thus equipped, you can hear really well in situations where even a hearing aid doesn't work so well, Mr. Einhorn said. You'd hope that Medicare would eventually reconsider its policy on covering hearing devices, a step the National Academies report also urged. The aging of the population means many, many more Americans will confront age-related hearing loss, and researchers have shown that it contributes not only to social isolation, but to increased risks of falls, poor health and hospitalization, cognitive decline, and dementia. Yet treating hearing loss has been largely an all-or-nothing proposition. You pay an audiologist lots of money, or you blast your TV and ask friends to repeat themselves. A third option, FDA-regulated PSAPs, might represent a simpler, cheaper solution. Do you have to put in a hearing device that's 100% perfect? Dr. Reed said. Maybe 85% is enough to improve your life. And we go to lawmakers want hearing aids to be easier to get, but doctors object. And this is from the Boston Globe, written by Victoria McGrain and published on April 11, 2017. Patricia Holland of Walton suffered a panic attack during a vacation in Savannah, Georgia, 13 years ago, when she lost her hearing aid and had no way to quickly find a replacement. Almost 2 weeks later, when she finally got one, she teared up with joy, even though she had to hand over $2,600. "If you have hearing loss, it's amazing how people make you feel like you're inferior," said the 79-year-old, who first learned she had age-related hearing loss in her 60s. "You're made to feel that you're not adequate when you're really highly intelligent." Now, new technology and a rare bipartisan push from lawmakers who are trying to reduce regulations for the sale of hearing aids are raising hopes that more people with mild to moderate hearing loss will be able to buy hearing devices a lot more cheaply and without seeing a doctor. It's a modest-sounding goal, but supporters believe the measure on Capitol Hill could lower prices, spur innovation, and ultimately get hearing aids into the ears of far more people. Only 15 to 30% of people who need hearing aids actually get them, according to some estimates. Currently, regulations in most states, including Massachusetts, require consumers to go to a licensed audiologist or other specialist to purchase a hearing aid. The average cost, $2,300. Legislation sponsored by Democratic Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren and Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa would supersede individual state rules and force over-the-counter hearing aids into the national market. It has the support of AARP, which is the largest lobbying group for seniors and advocates for people with hearing loss. But it is drawing opposition from hearing aid makers and a major trade association for audiologists. Supporters say the bill could unleash on competition and put hearing aids that cost a few hundred dollars on the shelves. It could also foster technology that, among other benefits, allows consumers to use smartphones to control their hearing aids. These new technologies are disrupting the marketplace to the discomfort of a long-entrenched industry, said Julie Kearney, Vice President of Regulatory Affairs for the Consumer Technology Association, a major tech trade association that is lobbying for Warren's bill. But the technology is here, and consumers deserve affordable choices. Holland, the Walton woman with hearing loss, applauded the effort, saying, "To have hearing aids accessible would mean it's easier and maybe more acceptable for people to say, yes, I could try this. It's not overly expensive." Legacy hearing aid manufacturers and some groups representing audiologists aren't enthusiastic. They warn it is dangerous to encourage people to self-diagnose hearing loss, which untreated can contribute to isolation, depression, and other bad health outcomes. They are skeptical that it will lead to more use of hearing aids. "We don't ask them to do that for diabetes or hypertension. We always want to have medical professionals involved," said Neil DeSarno, chief staff officer of the American Speech Language Hearing Association, a trade group for audiologists. Some 30 million Americans suffer from some type of hearing loss. Other estimates put the figure as high as 48 million. Its prevalence balloons with age. An estimated 45% of people ages 70 to 74 years old have hearing loss. More than 80% of those ages 85 and older do. There's a web of reasons only a fraction of those people get hearing aids, experts say, including stigma and a confusing landscape of providers and services. But a big reason is cost. The average hearing aid costs more than $2,300. Most people need two. Medicare and most private insurance won't cover a dime. Warren's proposed solution: have the FDA create a category of hearing aids for people with mild to moderate hearing loss that consumers can purchase from the neighborhood pharmacy or online, much like you can go into the store and buy a pair of non-prescription reading glasses. About two-thirds of those with hearing loss fall into the mild category, according to the Hearing Industries Association. Under Warren's bill, the FDA would regulate the over-the-counter hearing aids, setting performance, safety, and labeling requirements. With the right rules in place, safety will be assured, but costs will drop significantly, and that means a lot of people can get the help they need, Warren said. The idea for her bill came from the recommendations of two scientific panels, the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology in October 2015, followed by an influential National Academies of Science report in June 2016. At the same time, consumer electronics makers have already started turning out devices to help people hear. Many are sleek, resembling music earbuds, but current FDA regulations mean they can't be marketed to people with hearing loss, even though some studies have shown some of the better quality devices perform just as well as approved hearing aids. In most states, consumers can only buy hearing aids from certified audiologists, professionals trained to test and treat hearing problems, or licensed hearing aid dispensers. Typically, these practitioners bundle the price of the hearing aid, meaning the $2,500 or $3,000 price tag covers not just the hardware, but also services from the audiologist to program and tune the device. There's little transparency, and not every consumer needs the same menu of services. The six major legacy hearing aid manufacturers have concerns about Warren's bill, as do some audiologists. "We're not flat out opposed," said Andy Bopp, executive director of the Hearing Industries Association, a trade group for the manufacturers, though the group's public statements on the topic are heavy on warnings of the dangers of people self-diagnosing their hearing problems. Instead, his group is pushing for Warren's bill to limit over-the-counter devices to just those with mild hearing loss, instead of both mild and moderate loss. People with mild hearing loss make up the lion's share of the population who don't address their hearing loss problems, said Bopp. For moderate loss patients, the risks of foregoing professional care are too great, Bopp said. Bopp rejected the criticism that the manufacturers are afraid of the competition. "By far the best tech in the hearing space is made by hearing aid manufacturers," he said. Grassley said he and Warren believe they can get their bill attached to a must-pass bill, reauthorizing user fees that the FDA charges device manufacturers to conduct its safety reviews. In the House, an unlikely duo of Massachusetts Representative Joe Kennedy III and conservative firebrand Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee introduced companion legislation. Both sit on a key committee that must approve the legislation for it to advance. "I would like to think this is one that is not going to be such a heavy lift," said Kennedy. The Hearing Loss Association of America, a leading advocacy group for people with hearing loss, supports the bill. So does AARP, which plans to prod its more than 37 million members to reach out to their lawmakers in support. Consumer electronics manufacturers are lobbying for it as well, including Framingham, Massachusetts-based Bose Corp, maker of high-end noise-canceling headphones, among other products. Bose has spent several years researching technology to help with hearing problems, but current regulatory barriers don't make it a viable business prospect for a company that sells its products on Amazon and at Best Buy, said Kevin Frank, head of marketing for Bose's emerging business unit focused on hearing technology. "We've wanted to make hearing health technology, and the hope is through consumerization, through over-the-counter hearing aids, there could be great ways for us to get involved," he said. And we have gels to repair hearing loss. Drug makers try new ear treatments. Written by Carolyn Chen and Donnie Bloomfield, published October 14, 2016, for Bloomberg. Sarah Povey spent her youth at rock concerts, sometimes going out 5 or 6 nights in a row, soaking up the live sound from nearby speakers. By her late 20s, she was diagnosed with severe tinnitus, a ringing in the ear that makes it hard to listen to any music at all. "I was very, very emotional," said Povey, now 44. "I felt hopelessness because there was no cure. There was nothing in the foreseeable future that gave me hope that it would go away." That may change within the next decade as understanding of the intricate inner ear improves. Drug makers are jumping in to offer innovative treatments like gels and gene therapy to prevent or even reverse tinnitus and hearing loss, which affect 25 million and 48 million people in the U.S. respectively. When a sound wave arrives at the ear, it hits the eardrum, whose vibrations are carried by three little bones to the inner ear. There, the vibrations travel through the fluid contained in the cochlea, a snail shell-shaped organ, and are picked up by tiny hair cells that convert kinetic energy into electric signals transmitted to the brain. Hearing loss and tinnitus happen when the hair cells or the nerves they connect to are damaged or killed. One key advance in technology is the ability to deliver drugs more precisely into the inner ear, an isolated part of the body that's difficult to reach with conventional drugs absorbed through the bloodstream. Auris Medical Holding AG and San Diego-based Autonomy Inc. are working on sudden cases of hearing loss, usually brought on by loud noises, infections, or after certain types of chemotherapy. Their drugs, administered within days of the trauma, are molecules suspended in gels that are injected through the eardrum into the middle ear and slowly disperse into the inner ear. The U.S. Department of Defense is particularly interested. Auris has tested its drug on chinchillas deafened by the simulated noise of an M16 rifle at a Navy medical center in San Diego. It's now running 2 late-stage human trials and expects to start seeing results next year. Auris, based in Switzerland, estimates the market for acute hearing loss at $600 million annually and at $750 million for acute tinnitus. Other drug makers, including Genvec Inc. and startup Decibel Therapeutics, see the larger market of hearing loss reaching billions of dollars in sales. It's been hard to get results for hearing drugs in humans so far. Auris said in August that its experimental treatment for acute tinnitus didn't meet primary goals in a trial. The company has amended the design of a second tinnitus trial and is awaiting results. A Tiffany Therapeutics Limited, a London-based firm that was spun off from GlaxoSmithKline PLC in 2011, failed in 2 mid-stage trials this year aimed at patients with tinnitus and age-related hearing loss. Its drug, a pill, is designed to improve signaling within the brain. Part of the challenge comes from measuring tinnitus, which is detected through self-reporting and can be hampered by the subjectivity of patients' experience. And we move on to hearing aids, how to choose the right one. And this was published by Mayo Clinic staff. And we will get as far into this article as we possibly can. Starting with how hearing aids work. Hearing aids use the same basic parts to carry sounds from the environment into your ear and make them louder. Most hearing aids are digital, and all are powered with a hearing aid battery. Small microphones collect sounds from the environment. A computer chip with an amplifier converts the incoming sound into digital code. It analyzes and adjusts the sound based on your hearing loss, listening needs, and the level of the sounds around you. The amplified signals are then converted back into sound waves and delivered to your ears through speakers. Hearing aids vary a great deal in price, size, special features, and the way they're placed in your ear. The following are common hearing aid styles, beginning with the smallest, least visible in the ear. Hearing aid designers keep making smaller hearing aids to meet the demand for a hearing aid that is not very noticeable. But the smaller aids may not have the power to give you the improved hearing you may expect. A completely in-the-canal hearing aid, or CIC, or mini-CIC, is molded to fit inside your ear canal. It improves mild to moderate hearing loss in adults. It is the smallest and least visible type, less likely to pick up wind noise. It uses very small batteries, which have shorter life and can be difficult to handle. It doesn't contain extra features such as volume control or a directional microphone, and it is susceptible to earwax clogging the speaker. An in-the-canal or ITC hearing aid is custom molded and fits partly in the ear canal. This style can improve mild to moderate hearing loss in adults. It's less visible in the ear than larger styles, and it includes features that won't fit on completely in the ear in the canal aids, but may be difficult to adjust due to its small size, and it is susceptible to earwax clogging the speaker. An in-the-ear or ITE hearing aid is custom made in 2 styles, one that fills most of the bowl-shaped area of your outer ear, the full shell, and one that fills only the lower part, the half shell. Both are helpful for people with mild to severe hearing loss. And this includes features that don't fit on smaller style hearing aids, such as a volume control. It may be easier to handle, uses a larger battery for longer battery life. It is susceptible to earwax clogging the speaker, and it may pick up more wind noise than smaller devices. It is more visible in the ear than smaller devices. A behind-the-ear or BTE hearing aid hooks over the top of your ear and rests behind the ear. A tube connects the hearing aid to a custom earpiece called an ear mold that fits in your ear canal. This type is appropriate for people of all ages and those with almost any type of hearing loss. Traditionally, this has been the largest type of hearing aid, though some newer mini designs are streamlined and barely visible. It is capable of more amplification than our other styles, and it may pick up more wind noise than other styles. The receiver in canal, RIC, and receiver in the ear, RITE styles, are similar to a behind-the-ear hearing aid with the speaker or receiver in the canal or in the ear. A tiny wire, rather than tubing, connects the pieces. It has a less visible behind-the-ear portion, and it is susceptible to earwax clogging the speaker. An open-fit hearing aid is a variation of the behind-the-ear hearing aid with a thin tube. This style keeps the ear canal very open, allowing for low-frequency sounds to enter the ear naturally and for high-frequency sounds to be amplified through the hearing aid. This makes the style a good choice for people with mild to moderate hearing loss. It is less visible, it doesn't plug the ear like the small in-the-canal hearing aids do, making your own voice sound better to you. It may be more difficult to handle and adjust due to small parts. Some hearing aid optional features improve your ability to hear in specific situations. All hearing aids have some amount of noise reduction available. The amount of noise reduction varies. Directional microphones, these are aligned on the hearing aid to provide for improved pickup of sounds coming from in front of you, with some reduction of sounds coming from behind or beside you. Some hearing aids are capable of focusing in one direction. Directional microphones can improve your ability to hear when you're in an environment with a lot of background noise. Telecoils make it easier to hear when talking on a telecoil-compatible telephones. Increasingly, hearing aids can wirelessly interface with certain Bluetooth-compatible devices, such as cell phones, music players, and televisions. You may need to use an intermediary device to pick up the phone or other signal and send it to the hearing aid. That, unfortunately, is where we need to leave it. Thank you for tuning in today to Sound Body. Stay well and come back next week for more healthy living ideas. This has been Sound Body, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm Louise Craig, and I hope you'll join me again next week for more health updates and information for healthy living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.